It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Almost half the state's school districts are posing referendum questions to voters this year, with a vast majority of those funding requests on the ballot next month.
Lawmakers increased public school funding by about $1 billion in the 2023 to 2025 budget cycle, but many Wisconsin schools are still facing financial hardship.
Districts across the state are grappling with declining enrollments and are being forced to consolidate schools and cut costs. Will this rounding of funding referendums be enough to meet the needs of K through 12 schools?
To learn more, we're joined by Corinne Hess, WPR's education reporter in Milwaukee. Corey, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Morning.
Good morning. So nearly 200 Wisconsin school districts either have asked or will ask a referendum question this year. So how much are districts asking for?
Well, you know, the total amount is about $6 billion across the state. Of course, this ranges from district to district. And when you look at the breakdown with this upcoming election, we've got about, we've got about 140 districts asking for referendums this time. And these are both operating referendums, which is kind of just to keep the school district going. And then also other referendums to do repairs on aging buildings.
And so it's not just about raising revenue limits. You're also seeing these operational needs emerge.
That's right. And you know, when you talk to district administrators, what they're saying is they're just not getting enough money from the state. And, you know, school districts are funded by a mix of taxpayer dollars, state aid, and a small amount by federal aid. And what districts are saying is the state aid money has not kept up over the years. And so what they need is more from the taxpayers.
But lawmakers increased funding for public schools by around $1 billion in this past budget. Why then are so many schools seeing these gaps?
That's right, they did. And the annual funding increase in the last budget was about $325 per student, which did provide some relief. But school districts say that did not catch them up from a freeze that was imposed for several years. And also there's declining enrollments in many districts. So what districts are saying is there's still a gap, and in many cases, they need more money. State Superintendent Jill Underley is calling on legislators to use this nearly $5 billion state surplus to help fund public education. But in the meantime, districts are going to ask taxpayers to approve these referenda.
Corey, you mentioned enrollment declines as having a part in these budget problems many schools are facing. Why is enrollment declining?
Enrollment's declining for several reasons. One reason is some parents are choosing to take their children out of public schools, put them in private schools. But a really big reason for enrollment decline is just the birth rate is down. So there's just fewer kids.
Take us to the Milwaukee suburb of Wauwatosa. It's split on approving school referendums. What are critics of these proposals arguing?
Well, they're just arguing that they don't want to pay more. They don't want their taxes to go up. So in Wauwatosa, they're asking for two referendums. They're asking taxpayers to pay $64.4 million for an operational increase and $60 million to repair aging school buildings. So if both were to pass, that would mean $600 more a year for a homeowner whose house is worth about $300,000, which is about what homes are worth in Wauwatosa on average.
You talked with the superintendent of the district, Damon Means. What was his position on his district's funding requests?
You know, he says that this is needed. He says that the buildings are old. They need to be repaired. He also said that this would give teachers a pay raise, which he wants to do. But he also understands that some people they are going to say no because of the tax increase. He believes that even people who vote no do want to make sure that their kids are getting the services that they want. He says that he's disappointed that the legislature has not stepped up.
Corey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the update.
Thank you for having me.
Corinne Hess covers education for Wisconsin Public Radio. And now for another perspective, let's bring in Chris Saldana, an assistant professor of K-12 educational leadership and policy analysis at UW-Madison. Chris, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What kinds of choices are districts forced to make if they get funding referendums on a ballot and they fail to pass?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Corey mentioned that there are different kinds of referenda. Referenda that relate to operating revenue really are about making sure that school districts can function. So this means, do they have the adequate number of teachers that they need to make sure that class sizes are effective? Do they have counselors? Do they have nurses? Are they paying their principals enough? Some folks may have heard about things like teacher shortages or principal shortages or folks leaving the profession altogether. All of that relates to the learning environments that school districts can create, which is highly dependent upon the dollars that they have access to. When you think about capital referenda, alternatively, that's more about what Corey mentioned, making sure that buildings are adequate, making sure that the AC works, that the heat works, especially now that we have more extreme weather conditions. It means that bathrooms are fixed, things like that, right? That mm-hmm. folks don't have to put that off in their districts for years and years and years.
Only 60% of school referendums in February and April were approved. That's the lowest level in more than a mm-hmm. decade. As you watch this unfold, do you see voter fatigue setting in on these referendums?
I think that's a great question, too, because part of what is happening here is that the state legislature is making a decision about how to fund public education. You know, there is a world where a more progressive funding system with more state funding provides school districts, especially those that are in communities that don't have a great amount of wealth, have the resources that they need. But policy in Wisconsin is such that it really is up to local voters to decide whether they are going to carry the bill. And you could imagine how that creates disparities across communities in Wisconsin. There are places in rural parts of the state that just don't have the tax base. So they have to tax themselves at higher and higher and higher rates. When you have wealthier parts of the state that where this isn't really an issue, you know, they have such a high tax base, they can raise their property taxes by a little bit and raise a heck of a lot of money.
So when you look at that mix of the taxpayer dollars, the state aid, a bit of the federal aid, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, Madison Metropolitan School District and the Wauwatosa District, they're funded more by property taxes than state or federal aid. So what is a district's ideal funding mix?
So that's really highly dependent upon the district. The way that school finance formulas would work ideally is that when you have a district that has a high percentage of kids who are in poverty, a high percentage of kids who have disabilities, a high percentage of kids who are learning English, then the state would provide those additional funds and then also have some funds come in from local taxpayers. I think the idea in the United States has for a long time been that communities kick in some money, but the goal is to make sure that communities are supported when they don't have the wealth locally.
Can we talk a bit about the pandemic relief funds? How important were they in making schools, you know, sure schools had enough money, and are schools shoring up gaps without those federal funds?
Yeah, I think that's another big question that school districts are going to have to face now. The pandemic relief funds were interesting because unlike funds that were provided during the 2008 financial crisis and Great Recession, those funds really were to respond to a health crisis. They were to make sure that kids had access to technology outside of schools if districts didn't already have those resources. And they were also to ensure that school districts could provide additional opportunities to support students to make up for the opportunities that they had lost during the pandemic. You know, those needs are still very much evident. Students are still recovering from the pandemic and have historic traumas that they experienced, whether they lost family members, whether they had different issues at home or just had parents lose jobs or anything like that. You know, those traumas are still existing. And now districts are being asked to still address those traumas that exist and now try to still make up for all of the educational opportunities that was lost, and also try to deal with things like declining enrollment, rising educational costs that correspond to things like inflation, right? So all of these problems are still happening, and federal funds are expiring. So those expire this year. So there is a real question about how districts are going to try to tackle all of these challenges at the same time, which I think really does tie into the referenda questions, because communities are now being asked to support districts through this difficult time.
When you look at these November 5th ballots, some local governments are also proposing competing referenda this November. Mm-hmm. And do these competing referendums then ultimately potentially harm the chance that either of them will pass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's hard for me to say whether the referenda, the competing referenda will in some ways crowd each other out. But logic would suggest, right, that if I'm being asked to pay more and more and more and more as a local taxpayer, that's a harder and harder question for me to say yes to every single time. And then it really does become a question of well, are we going to support our schools, or are we going to fix our roads, or are we going to make sure that our hospitals are adequate in our community? And I think, again, it raises questions about policy. What are we doing in the state of Wisconsin that it is the burden is placed upon local communities to make these kinds of decisions? And we really don't have any sort of comprehensive state systems to fund these programs that we know are necessary all around the state.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Saldana is an assistant professor of K-12 educational leadership and policy analysis at UW-Madison. And earlier, we talked with WPR education reporter Corrine Hess.